And as Kathy prepares for our opening hymn, I would like to see if there are any announcements for the good of all. Yes, Mindy? Oh, no. Okay. Mindy's just getting up so that she can help lead us in song. Mindy, the hymn is number
123.
Please
rise. Jesus Christ is risen today.
Let us praise the Lord for the gift of new life as witnessed in the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Please continue to stand as you are able so we can read the psalmist's words of joy as our call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Praise,
O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth?
He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from
the ashes. To make them sit with princes, princes of peace. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, the one we worship this day.
Let us
worship our risen Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit. Thanks be to God.
Hymn number 113.
Peace.
Please pray with me. Living God, by your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see the new light of this day. Open our lips to tell of the empty tomb. Open our hearts to believe the good news. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. The Old Testament promise comes from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that casts over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation."
Your bulletins say that the story is told. And yes, it is. But when you think about it, this is really the memory of what happened. This is God's memory of God's life on earth. Listen now to God's word to God's people. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling white clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that, free from sin, we may live for righteousness. Will you please stand as you are able to confess who we are before God? Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power, change our lives, make us new. Hear what the prophets have spoken, that everyone who believes in Christ receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Friends, believe the good news. In the name of Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with those around you with a nod or a wave.
Seated. Mark takes a different perspective with the telling of God's memory. He says this from chapter 16. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them.
Thank you.
children out there who want to come forward and talk?
This reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home.
This is a joyous day, and we are invited by God to lift our joys as well as our concerns to the Lord, for the Lord hears them all and gives attention to them all and does the best they can for those for whom we pray. So let us gather our hearts and lift them to the God who hears. Let us pray. Resurrecting God, you are making all things new, a new heaven, a new earth, a new way of thinking and being. We praise you, O living God, with songs and prayers and listening hearts and lives, trying to obey your will. You have created and are creating, making all things new, bringing life and hope and love. You come to us in Jesus, your word made flesh, to reconcile and make even us new. For through him, there is no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain. Oh Lord, in a culture where the power of death gets all the headlines, your Holy Spirit invites us to be people shaped by your power to bring new life. But even so empowered, we seek your help with the concerns of our hearts. We lift up to you those wounded, both physically and emotionally, by the recent mass shootings in New York and South Carolina. And we pray for the children and the animals of the world, especially those in war-torn lands. You have asked that we be stewards of this place and all that live on it. Help us to provide for the needs of all life. Guide us to encourage our leaders to provide for the needs of their people in extraordinary ways that they can, only they can, from their seats of power. And give them the courage to follow the way Jesus taught for the good of all. We pray for the well-being of all who have been forsaken, forgotten, left out, or lonely. We pray for those who are scorned, insulted, battered or bruised, bodily or emotionally. We pray too for those who cry out in pain or suffer long-term or grave illnesses. Today we especially pray for Julie, for John, for Dave and Elva, Jim and Sally, Herb and Shirley, Arlene and her daughter Kathy. We pray for Denise, for Anne and Pat, Betty, the Keys, the Krebs, and the Sayers, and all whom we name silently in our hearts so that you alone might hear. You, O God, are making all things new. Renew our minds to renew the world by living out your commandment of love. We are not sure we believe as fully as we think we should. We are not sure we trust as deeply as we think you require. But we bring who we are and what we have become into your presence, longing to know your grace and your love. You, O God, are making all things new. Renew our minds so that we might renew the world by living out your commandment. And help us follow wherever your Spirit may lead, so that we may love with the love of Jesus flowing through us, so that we, body, mind, and spirit, may be the children of resurrection, the children of hope, the children of grace. We pray all this in the name of the one who was and is and shall be evermore, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who taught us to pray together aloud, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the We continue our remembering of Jesus' resurrection from the words of John, picking up where Maria left off. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. And he said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Curiouser and curiouser. That's what Alice said after falling down the rabbit hole at the bottom of the large tree. Remember? Curiouser and curiouser. And after reading both Luke and John's lessons today, as well as the clip from Mark, I suspect we're all feeling curious. It's Easter morning, and we thought we'd come to church to hear about great joy and excitement, maybe a little happiness thrown in. Instead, it feels as if we've fallen down a rabbit hole. John's Mary Magdalene carried a spice jar as she walked in the light of the full moon to where Jesus was laid. If you woke up early this morning, you might have seen that same moon, the first full moon after the vernal equinox. That's when Passover is, always. Well, seeing the stone had been rolled away must have been rather unsettling for her. That silvery light kind of giving a surreal glow. So without really going any closer to the tomb, she first ran to find a safe place and surrounded herself in the comfort of people she trusted. In Luke, we hear that the women who dutifully went to anoint Jesus' body with fragrant spices and oils acted with a bit more courage when they saw that the stone had been rolled away. They went inside. It's no surprise that they were confused when they discovered that what they thought would be wasn't the case at all. Curiouser and curiouser. It's also no surprise that their confusion quickly turned to fear when they saw the men standing there with them. I'd probably faint, given all that had happened in the last 72 hours. After all, Jesus had been crucified. Curiosity and fear. They're both powerful motivators. One draws us further, and the other repels us. Amidst a mixture of these two emotions, the women of both stories left the tomb to find Peter, Jesus' rock. Surely he'd know how to handle this curiously frightening situation, they thought. But that in itself is curious. Wasn't he the one who denied Jesus three times? In Luke's account, we learn that upon hearing the news, the remaining 11 disciples scoffed and thought the women were talking nonsense. But the Greek word that Luke chooses to use implies far more than that. The men, excuse me, men, they basically think that their words are nothing but hot air. In their overwhelming sadness, the women had become hysterical, even a little crazy, at least temporarily. And of course, since they weren't in their right mind, they should not be believed. At least that's what the men thought. But Peter, well, in both versions of this curious story, Peter's curiosity takes hold, and he takes off at a gallop to discover the truth for himself. Quite the turnaround for him. In both stories, we learn that when he arrives on the scene, Peter merely looks into the tomb, like Mary Magdalene in John's telling. He stops short of going inside. It's hard to tell what he was feeling. John says he didn't understand that according to ancient scriptures, the king would rise from death. Luke simply says he went home wondering what had happened. Peter knew Jesus was gone, but he wasn't able to believe his master was anything but dead. He wasn't able to believe. And what's more curious, John tells us that the other disciple who went with him to the tomb saw and believed. Peter seems to be locked in a blind box. The reality he'd lived all of his life couldn't work through the mystery. He wasn't able to get his head and his heart around the possibility that something magnificent had happened. That's Peter for you. He couldn't believe he could walk on water while keeping his eyes on Jesus. He couldn't believe he would ever deny his Lord in his time of trial, even once, let alone three times. I suspect when we face things we can't readily explain, we can all be a bit like Peter. Believing what we don't understand is a hard thing to do. When frightening things happen, or life throws us a curveball, or science doesn't offer a foolproof answer, it's much easier to just go back to things that we know are a sure bet, the way things used to be. Sometimes we may wonder about the curiosity of it all, but pretty soon, the normal everyday world busies our minds and our fears, like nightmares, fade away. Perhaps that's what happened to Peter. At least, perhaps that's what he hoped would happen. He had to be wondering how much longer his fears of being caught as one of Jesus' followers would continue. There'd been enough worry and stress and unexpected curious surprises during Passover to last a lifetime. He wanted to wake up from whatever nightmare this was and go back to the way things were. But Peter isn't the only person who reacts to the mystery of the missing Jesus. And that's curious, too. If we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection, why isn't he more present in these stories? I don't know. At least as we read John's gospel a little further on, we see how very distraught Mary Magdalene has become. Yet she is still very curious about what she's already witnessed. So she looks back inside the tomb, where two angels were now sitting. They ask why she was weeping, but after her fear and worry-laden response, it was Jesus who curiously appears to continue this conversation. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that this woman's sadness is as deep as the love she must have held for her Lord. And it seems as if the courage that flows out of that love is overtaking her fear. Isn't that the way it always is? Love casts out fear and allows hope to spring forth anew. In that gardener, Mary had found someone to ask for help. She may yet find the body of the one who had brought so much goodness to her life. But when Jesus called her by name, both Mary and us are taken by surprise. Can't you just see how she drops the spice jars she was carrying? Can't you just see how she wants to throw her arms around him, like a mother whose child had been lost and now was found? But Jesus said to her, and I need to read this verse back to you completely, verse 17. Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Curiouser and curiouser. Incredibly curiouser. It seems that love has overpowered fear and sadness. Indeed, in love, God has raised Jesus Christ from death to life eternal. God has done something that is wholly new and totally holy. And in faith, God has also promised that those who profess their faith in Christ will never be separated from the love of God again. Love has made it so life cannot go back to the way it always was. And this is something to be joyous and excited about this Easter morning. The good news of God's love in Jesus Christ has done for all people through all times and in all places began right then and there. For Mary Magdalene became the apostle to the apostles. She preached the good news first. She said, "I've seen the Lord." That's the greatest news of all time. I've seen the Lord. Don't you wonder what that will be like? So, what are you feeling this Easter morning? Are you curious about whether or not all this really happened? And if so, I'm glad to talk with you about it. No judgment, just curiosity. Maybe you're fearful that it didn't happen, or that the world will chase after you until it runs you into the ground for saying that it did. Maybe you simply remember what Jesus said about dying only to be raised up from death. Perhaps, like Peter, you looked inside the tomb and left perplexed. Did you believe like the unnamed disciple who Jesus most loved? Or are you like Mary, who because of God's love and through that love found the courage to love through her tears and hope through her fears and then share the good news with the world? Following Christ can often make you feel like you've fallen down a rabbit hole, filled with confusion. That makes holding faith in something or someone as curious as rising up from death to life eternal, challenging at best. There will always be days when fear and desolation, skepticism and plain old, "I just don't want to think about it," catch up with everyone. But today, I'm going to go with the love and the hope that Mary found, and the courage to voice what she believed and what I believed. I have seen the Lord. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. story of Jesus' resurrection didn't end with all the curiosities that we've been talking about. In fact, later that day, something else happened. And it's something we don't often hear here in this sanctuary. So listen now for how God's memory of Jesus' resurrection continues in Luke chapter 24. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the story of the resurrection from God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen.
Please stand with me as you are able and share in the Apostles' Creed that can be found on page 14 in your hymn book. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hymn number 122, Thine is the Glory.
Jesus is long gone, but there's no way we could see Jesus. And yet, I believe that each and every day, Jesus is out there and that we can see him, like Mary Magdalene saw him. She thought he was a gardener. Perhaps you will see Jesus in the coming days as someone who just crosses your path. Maybe someone you chat with in the supermarket line, or maybe a coworker that you listen to and seems to have great wisdom. Or maybe it's a friend that you pray with who is entering her last days. But you'll see Jesus, and you'll be able to say, like Mary did, I have seen the Lord. And then you can go out and tell the rest of the world how you have seen him now here in this place. So go out into the world in peace and hold on to what is good. Have courage. Return no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Lift up the sorrowful. Heal the sick if you can. And remember that you do not go alone. For the love of Christ, the grace of God, and the community that draws us all together as Jesus' brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit, goes with you now and always. Amen.